Welcome to the Kona Edge, where you'll discover what the best triathletes in the world do to give them the edge.
Welcome on to this edition of the Kona Edge. It is Wednesday. My name is Brad Brown, and I'm super chuffed to share another incredible Ironman story with you today. And today I get to touch base and hang out with Zach Carr. Details of that interview coming up in a short while. This episode of the Kona Edge is proudly brought to you by Jack Rabbit. If you're looking for running shoes and other apparel, be sure to check out Jack Rabbit. They have a whole bunch of specialty running stores across the United States. They also have a very big online footprint and stock pretty much anything and everything. So go check them out, okay? They're also giving away a pair of Hoka One One this week and every week in the month of September. All you need to do if you'd like to enter to win those pair of shoes is head over to jackrabbit.com/Kona Edge. That's where you can get all the details and enter to win that contest, where you can get a chance to win one of four pairs of Hoka One One running shoes and discover what it's like to run on the official shoe of the Ironman World Championships. That URL to get to once again is jackrabbit.com/Kona Edge. You can also text the word jackrabbit to 44222 and I'll send you the details right away. That's jackrabbit, jackrabbit, to 44222, and I'll send you all the details. Today's Coach's Corner is brought to you by Doug Guthrie Personal Training. Doug has a passion for seeing people improve and succeed. A 14 times Ironman finisher, two of those on the Big Island, a USA T-Level 1 certified coach, head coach of the YMCA tri-team, Doug has the unique ability to meet athletes wherever they are in their journey. His motivation comes from helping athletes improve and meet their goals at any skill level. As a self-coach, two times Kona qualifier and finisher, Doug's experience places him in the shoes of those training for their first sprint, to those who need to know what has to be adjusted in their plan to get them to the next level in order to qualify for the World Championships. Discover more about Doug, head over to thekonaedge.com/coaching, and don't forget, if you're a coach or if you have a coaching business and would like to get a plug on the podcast, head over to thekonaedge.com/coaching. Well, we head to Wisconsin now to catch up with our next guest here on the Kona Edge, Zach Carr. Zach, welcome onto the podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Certainly. Thanks for having me.
Zach, you're one of the lucky ones. You've got an Ironman in your backyard, so you could do one every year. You don't even need to travel much. Is it a blessing or is it a curse?
It's a bit of both. It's a blessing. I can go on the course and I can train the actual course and figure out how to race it properly. But it's also a curse just because it is that close, and I feel I need to get up there more often than not to ride the course. So it's a bit of both.
Do you end up using that one as your qualifier for Kona? Is that the plan generally?
I'm doing it in September, and this will be my third time doing it. I did it 2010, 12, and 16. So okay. I try to get others to qualify, but this one is just so convenient. It's hard not to race it.
How far is it from home? Do you get to sleep in your own bed the night before the race?
I do. It's about just over a half hour.
Wow, so that's awesome. That is awesome. Zach, you were telling me before we started recording this that you've been around the sport of triathlon for close on a decade now, just under. How did you get involved in the sport?
A little bit of a backstory. I was traveling a lot for work and put on quite a bit of weight, 70 pounds heavier than I am now. And I had a very unhealthy lifestyle, was a heavy smoker, didn't work out, ate a ton, and kind of just had that aha moment where I needed to make some lifestyle changes, needed to lose the weight. And my wife was training with a group of cyclists. I joined her on the training rides. Weight wasn't falling off as quickly as I had hoped, so I started to jog, run, and the weight just started to melt off. And someone's like, hey, have you ever thought of doing a try? Just add a swim to it, and the rest is history.
70 pounds, that's 7-0 for people who misheard. That's one of the Jonas Brothers. That's incredible.
Yeah, and it was a my neighbors, when I started to lose the weight in the fall and the winter, and I came out in the spring, and my neighbors didn't even recognize who I was.
Isn't that a cool feeling?
It is a very cool feeling.
What was the, I mean, you say working too much. Was it just poor lifestyle choices? And I think it happens to a lot of us where we go to college and we end up just, it's like this slow downward spiral. We let ourselves go. I mean, I'm putting my hand up because that was me. My story is almost exactly the same. And before you know it, like you say, you're 70 pounds heavier than what you should be. And it's time to take some drastic action. Is that pretty much yours? I mean, was it eating, drinking, smoking? What was the deal?
It was all the above. It was going out late for dinners with clients and coworkers, and then going back to the hotel and having desserts and not working out and smoking and drinking. It was just, it was a culmination of all of that, and just gradually over time putting on the weight. And you don't realize how much weight you're putting on and until there was that aha moment where I grabbed my gut and just a handful of gut and realized how much weight I had really put on.
What was the turning point for you? Can you remember sort of where you actually thought to yourself, something's got to give?
I remember it pretty vividly. I was in a hotel room in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I was laying on the bed, and I don't know exactly what hit me, but like I said, I had put on a ton of weight, and it's just sitting there thinking about my young kids and what the future would be like if I continued down this road, and it was like a lightning bolt struck me. I needed to make some changes if I wanted to be around for them, and just started to change my lifestyle and make choices that would help that. One of them was to cut down on the travel. Traveling is very, it's just difficult to be healthy and travel. You can do it if you're smart about it, but at the time I wasn't educated enough to know how to do it.
Yeah, and that's twofold, because you're missing out, especially if you're active, you're missing out on your regular routine, so you're not probably training as much as you should, unless you've got the discipline to go to the gym in a hotel or find a local sort of YMCA close to where you're traveling. And the second one is the eating. You're not eating at home. You're eating in restaurants pretty much three meals a day, and that's not ideal.
Right. I'm a CPA and accountant, so I'm still pretty busy and travel quite a bit between January and April. So I've learned how to do it on the road. So the hotel usually does have treadmill and workout equipment. I usually bring my bike trainer with me and just hook my bike trainer up in the hotel room. And like you said, you just learn where you can go to eat and make sure. I always have a bag full of food just in case there's not things around that are appropriate to eat, and just more prepared.
In case of an emergency, break the glass. It's one of those.
Exactly.
Zach, tell me about growing up and Zach Carr as a kid. Were you active as a youngster?
No, I wasn't. I come from a pretty large family. I'm the oldest of nine kids. I played T-ball as a kid, and we were just, you know, active around the house and with each other. I'd go to the YMCA and play basketball occasionally, but really wasn't involved in any sports. And like I said, I had smoked for quite a while. It started in high school, and it carried on, and really didn't have any athletic ability after I was a kid. I did play intramural sports in college just for fun, hang out with buddies, but that was pretty much the extent of it.
And that first triathlon, tell me about that experience. It must have been a bit of an eye-opener.
Oh, definitely. Like I said, I kind of went into it just thinking I could, you know, just get through the swim like it'd be no problem. And as soon as the gun went off, I'm getting kicked and water in my face. And I quickly realized that it's not as easy as you think it is. But when you cross that finish line, there's nothing like it. And just the sense of accomplishment, the camaraderie, hanging out with people after the race, it was definitely something I was hooked on.
Was it love at first sight for you? I mean, obviously, I think we all have that experience in our first one where there's times where you think to yourself, what am I doing here? Like, but afterwards, like you say, that sense of achievement. For you, was it a case of you'd almost felt like, I'm home, this is what I want to be doing?
It was, yeah. And like, I think with all my workouts and with races, you have this love-hate relationship, kind of like you're talking about, where during the race, there's parts where you just hate it, and you're like, why am I doing this? This sucks. And then when you're finished, you have this high, and you love it, and you want to come back for more. And I was instantly hooked. I think the what really hooked me was going to and spectating at Ironman Wisconsin, and just the energy of the crowds and the athletes. It definitely draws you in.
Was that the turning point for you, where spectating at an Ironman event, where you went, you know what, I want to do this. Like, I've been involved in the sport, the shorter distances, but this big one, as crazy as it seems at the time, this is what I want to do.
For sure. And one of the guys that was part of the cycling group that my wife was a part of was doing an Ironman, and I had never heard of Ironman before, and he started naming off the distances, and I just thought it was insane that there's no way that someone could possibly do this, let alone do it in a day. And it just seemed overwhelming. But I went and watched and saw people doing it, and just it was such an overwhelming challenge. It was something that I wanted to see if I could take on and do.
It's so interesting you say that, Zach, because I think it doesn't matter what caliber of athlete you are. I mean, everyone has those doubts in the build-up to their first one, where you think to yourself, this is stupid. There's no ways I can physically do this in a day, like you say. But yeah. I said it to someone last night who were talking about the mental side of it, and I always say to people, an Ironman's not 226 miles, it's 6 inches, and it's the 6 inches between your ears. If you can master that, anyone can do an Ironman.
Yeah, exactly. And that was one of the things I learned when I first got a coach. I was in the sport for a couple of years before I decided to get a coach, but that was one thing that they really challenged me on, is I would often get in my own head and get in my way, where I would go into a workout and think, there's no way I can hit these numbers that they're asking me to do because I did X the day before. But if you just put those blinders on and go out and do the work, you surprise yourself. You realize you're capable of more than what you think, as long as you don't get in your own way and overthink what you're doing.
And it's also important, I'm sure you've had this experience too, is to focus on the now. Don't worry about what's coming in a month's time or 6 weeks or 12 weeks. Focus on the session you need to do today, because if you take care of that session, next week will take care of itself. But if you're focusing too much on those and worrying that you're never going to get there, it's the sessions today that are the ones that aren't going to get you there if you don't do them.
I had that same talk with myself last night when I had to get out and run. Like, I have a run, two-hour run tonight, three-hour bike tomorrow, the big weekend coming up. And if you think about it in totality, it's just overwhelming. But I'm like, just get through the 2 hours tonight and worry about tomorrow, and make this a good quality key session, and the rest you'll surprise yourself, and then the rest will just fall in line.
Talk to me about the decision to get a coach a few years in. You had obviously sort of felt your way around the sport and figured things out for yourself, but where did that decision come? What brought on that decision that you went, you know what, I want to get better at this, I need help?
It was after I did Ironman Wisconsin in 2010. I was, a couple hours, an hour and a half away from qualifying for Kona, and I didn't think it was a real possibility, but after a year off from Ironman, I started to just become more confident in my abilities. But at the same time, I was getting injured a lot because I didn't know how to structure training plans. I would get injured, and then I'd come back and then try to make up for lost time. And I just didn't have the consistency in the training. And I know I hear that word quite a bit, consistency, and it really is key, because if you're consistent, you're able to stay healthy. It's when you're injured, you try to catch up, you get injured again. It's just a vicious circle. So I was having troubles staying injury free. I needed someone to challenge me, and I had a goal that I wanted to get to Kona. So kind of all those things together led me to get a coach.
When did Kona first pop up on the radar? Was it after that first one where, tell me about the thinking, because I don't think anybody goes into their first Ironman thinking Kona's the deal. When did it first pop up for you?
No, it was after, and I was training with some buddies, and a couple of them had been to Hawaii, and they were talking about their times, and it really had never entered my mind that I could do it. But then just training with them, seeing what they were capable of doing, that I could kind of hang with them, I would draft behind them. But just it started to get the idea that maybe this is a possibility. I went and started looking at researching times and data and what it would take to get to Kona, and basically created a game plan. These are the times I need in the next year if I want to get to a qualifying time, and this is what it's going to take. And I'm a pretty analytical person, so I had the data all charted out and said, this is what my goal is, and I'm going to go see if I can do it.
As a CPA, I'm sure you had spreadsheets. You must have had spreadsheets.
Oh, I still have the spreadsheets.
I love it. My spreadsheets. tell me about that first one, how it went from a performance perspective, because I get asked that question a lot. People listen to this podcast and they go, I want to qualify for Kona, and then everyone's telling them that they debuted with a sub 10 hour. What was yours?
Mine was 11:01, not quite under the 11 hours, but I really had no time goal. My goal was to go in and have fun and just enjoy the day. I was afraid that I would blow up. I think it was probably my third triathlon, so I had no idea how to pace an Ironman or what it would feel like. And I was just wanted to get through the day, just wanted to be a finisher and enjoy the day. And that's what I did. And I felt I was very controlled and steady the whole day and just really just had a great time.
Can you remember what your splits were?
You're challenging me. I think it was roughly an hour 5 swim, I forget, 5:45 and 4 hour run, something like that.
All right. Now, just for a rough idea, I mean, guys are always asking me, particularly on debut. And then from that decision to get a coach, how much did your training change? Obviously, it must have been a lot more structured. What were some of the major changes that you made from a training perspective with a coach?
I would always get injured running. And so the biggest surprise and change for me was running more consistently and running more frequently than I thought I should have. And it wasn't that I'm going out and running 20 miles every day. It's just, you know, maybe a few miles here, a few miles there, but then also varying the terrain and surface. So I wasn't always on blacktop, and it was really just learning how to put it all together and create a consistent training environment.
Zach, the onslaught to Kona qualification in that build-up, what were some of the things? I mean, you had obviously targeted a race. You knew the race you were going to. You sort of knew more or less the times you needed to do. How did you approach it from a mental perspective to get yourself ready and in that frame of mind, knowing that this is it? You're going to suffer, and it's going to be a long time of suffering, but... Yeah, this too shall pass, as they say. How did you get your head right to get into that zone?
That was really it, just being prepared to suffer. And that was my goal going into the race. So it wasn't – I've never not finished a race, but I really didn't care if I didn't finish a race. It was just be smart about what you're doing. You put in the training, you know, just having confidence in what you've done and the preparation. Even now, just going into an Ironman, there's always doubts of have I done enough? Will the results show up on race day? But just having the confidence that what you've done will work, and then just leaving it all out there. Not being crazy about it, because it is a full Ironman and a long day, but still going out there and giving it your best shot.
Yeah, the go until you blow strategy can work in an Olympic. It tends to not work. It tends to not work in a full Ironman, I'm afraid.
No, not at all.
Zach, did you qualify at first attempt? Was that the case for you?
I did. Yep, it was kind of funny. The goals I had put out there over a year before, I hit almost those times exactly. And so I think I was 17th overall, including the pros, and second in my age group. And it was a great day. And being from the area, my whole family was there and friends, and it was one of the most memorable days.
That's awesome. And then the change, did you change anything in the build-up to Kona? From a preparation perspective, did you do anything differently, or did you pretty much, you know what, this worked for me in qualification, I'm going to do the same thing for Hawaii?
I had changed coaches between qualifying at Wisconsin and Kona. And so there was different strategies in the training. The actual volume of training was pretty consistent. When I went into Kona, I was injured because I was trying to do, I've done age group nationals for the Olympic, and then tried to, which was like a month and a half before Kona. So I was trying to do speed work and incorporate long runs, and it just, my body just didn't handle it very well. So I went into Kona injured. But the buildup was relatively the same other than the change in the running.
And the experience, the first experience of racing in those world champs, I mean, for an amateur athlete, it must be pretty special.
It's amazing. It is easily my favorite race. Just one, it's an extremely tough race, so it's very challenging, but you're among the best of the best, and everywhere you go, there's professionals that are hanging out, and everyone is there in Kona for the race. It's a very cool experience. Even if you're not racing it, just to experience that energy, it's very neat.
If I say the word Kona, what do you think of?
The finish line. I think of the heat and the wind first, but surely after is the finish line. Like, there's nothing that compares to finishing that race. And when you come up the finishing chute, it's a pretty steep ramp, but behind it, it's a huge wall of cameras and video cameras, and you feel like you're on top of the world finishing that race.
For you, what's been your proudest moment in Ironman racing? What are you most proud of so far?
My proudest moment was actually in a half Ironman. It was 2 years ago. I did a local half Ironman, and it was my first ever win. And like I said, it was relatively small, so there weren't a ton of people out there, but my wife and kids were out there, and just to see the expression on their face when I'm coming up this big hill with the lead bike on the run, and they don't expect me to be there, and all of a sudden here I come in the lead, and just to see the pride on their face, that was really cool. And then coming down the finishing chute, having them there, just that pride and excitement, it's something I'll never forget.
It doesn't matter how many people are there, Zach, claim it. It's yours. You want it.
Oh, I'm claiming it.
I love that. Let's talk work-life balance. You're a professional. You said you're a CPA. You've got a family. You've got kids. How do you get the balance right of training enough that you can be competitive in these races, but also that things are in check at home and you're keeping things going at work, you've got bills to pay? How do you get that balance right?
A patient wife. It really comes down to her. I mean, we plan out our weeks and ahead of time, and the kids obviously are involved in their own events like swimming and taekwondo, and we try to make the kids' activity is a priority. So we structure our training. She's done Ironman a couple of times, and she's training for marathons, and she's going to be doing the New York City Marathon here. So we try to structure our training around the kids' events, but really she's very patient and lets me go out for long rides and takes the kids to practices. And without her, I wouldn't be able to do it. But that being said, I'm always up early getting workouts in, late at night. On weekends, I try to get the workouts in before the kids are up. So it's training in times when the kids have their downtime or around work hours too.
What's the biggest life lesson that Ironman has taught you?
Probably perseverance and also confidence that, one, you can accomplish anything that you set your mind to. You put achievable goals out there, and just if you do it, the more you do it, the more confident you become. It's probably perseverance and confidence.
You mentioned you're one of nine, you're the eldest of nine siblings. What does the family think of your sort of transformation from where you were 8 years ago to now?
They think I'm crazy for what I do.
Are any of the others into endurance sport?
No, not at all. No, we just went camping as a family last weekend, and I spent, probably 7 hours on Saturday riding my bike around the countryside, and they're sitting around the campfire and playing games, and they just think I'm crazy for spending my time that way. And they're probably right. That's not, it's not fun to spend your time, but yeah, they think I'm crazy.
What's the left for you to achieve? I mean, when the time comes where you need to hang things up and no longer in the sport, what do you want to have done? What will you be happy to have achieved?
I'm happy with what I've achieved to date. There's only one thing on my checklist of things that I would like to accomplish, and that's top five at Kona. I was close this last year, top eight, and really it came down to a lack of confidence. I had been injured the two previous times I did it. This is the first time I was really healthy going into the race. And so I didn't think I had the ability to compete with the top guys. But finishing top eight, realizing that I left, I wouldn't say a lot, but left something out on the course mentally where I probably could have pushed more than I did. And so just having the confidence that I can come back and potentially finish top five, that would probably be the one goal that I would like to accomplish.
What are you struggling with right now? What are you working on?
Motivation. It's hard when you've been doing this sport for a while just to go out for those, you know, 6-hour workouts and just to keep the motivation and the drive to keep going. And when you're out there, you still have to stay focused, and there's a goal of the workout, and it's hard to get up for those workouts time after time and to keep focused. So that's probably the biggest struggle.
It's interesting you say that, because I'm struggling with the same sort of thing. I'm not riding and I'm not swimming at the moment for that exact matter. I want to just get really consistent running, and that's what I'm focusing on. And I'm really struggling to wrap my head around getting back on the bike and back in the water in the build-up to my next Ironman. How do you keep yourself going? Is it a case of drawing a line in the sand saying this is the goal and you know what? We've got to do it, otherwise we're going to suffer.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, it's putting a race on the calendar like Ironman Wisconsin and saying this is what the goal is, and I know what it takes to get there. And the faster I've become, the more work it takes to maintain that level, especially as I age. It doesn't get any easier. And so I realize I need to hit the key sessions every week if I want to get out there. And I guess that's probably the motivation, is to just keep at it. Because I know if I don't, it's going to be a suffer fest.
Talk to me about the confidence thing. I find that fascinating, because in what I do for a living, I chat to a lot of top-class sportsmen and women, and not just in triathlon, but across the board. And one thing I'm realizing, a lot of them, it's not an ability thing. They're all good at what they do, and it's the same thing, I guess, in Ironman triathlete. All the top age groupers are good. It's what separates them, I'm finding, is their mental capacity to whatever it is, to believe in themselves, to suffer, to push through when things are tough. What are some of the things that you do to work on that? Because I think we train ourselves physically, but a lot of us don't train ourselves mentally hard enough. Is it something that you work on a lot?
It is. I think the bottom line is it's a fear of failure. I want to succeed in everything that I do, and that drives me. And not to get too deep, but that acceptance, you know, coming from a large family, it was hard to get acceptance. And so I found something that if I train hard at it, I can gain that acceptance. And that really, that drives me. Lost my train of thought here. But so when I'm out doing a workout, I try to challenge myself to push beyond what I think I can do. And a lot of that is, you know, like at the end of a long run when I feel dead tired, is just to put myself in a spot where, you know, I'm on the race course, it's at the last 10K, and really try to make that last 10K my best. And I think a lot of it is training by yourself. I really enjoy training with groups because it's makes the time go by, it's social. But it's hard to really focus and push yourself when you're with a group, especially on a long, hard effort. And so I really try to focus on, not say burying myself, but really pushing myself beyond what I think I can towards the end of a long workout. And that really helps build that that confidence that when it comes to race day, I know what it feels like. I've been there before.
That's exactly what I was going to ask. Is it those sessions, the really tough ones in training, that prepare you mentally for when things do get dark? Because we know they do get dark on race day, and it's those tough sessions that enable you to pull yourself out of those moments on race day.
Yeah, and then on race day, I'm thinking about those times, you know, like there's a bridge that's 4 miles from my house, and I'm like, all right, 4 miles, that's from here to here. I've done that 100 times before. You know, it's nothing new. I've been there before. I can do it again.
And visualization, are you a big one on visualizing?
Yes, when it's getting tough, I like to visualize, especially during training. The night or two before a race, too, I'll visualize and really basically play the race in my head and how it should go. And you can't prepare for every variable, but I think about, you know, what happens if I get a flat? How am I going to handle that? And I just find when I come to race day, I'm very calm, and I feel like I've prepared as best as I can, and just take whatever comes.
Brilliant. Well, Zach, I look forward to talking about your swim, your bike, your run, and your nutrition, but we'll save that for next time. Thanks for your time today here on the Kona Edge.
Certainly. Thank you.
Thank you very much to our guest, Zach Carr, for sharing his Ironman story with us. We'll catch up with Zach again next week, Thursday, to talk a little bit about his swim and how he's got better over time on that. We're back again tomorrow, where we'll be chatting some more swimming here on the Kona Edge. And don't forget that this episode of the Kona Edge was brought to you by Jack Rabbit. To stand in line to win a pair of Hoka One One running shoes, we're giving away 4 in the month of September, 1 every single week. All you have to do is head over to jackrabbit.com/Kona Edge or simply text the word jackrabbit to 44222.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for the Kona Edge.